You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Every day is the Super Bowl. Every hour is the Super Bowl. Except for Todd. It feels like he's going to mail in this final hour. He had a pretty good hour last. As long as David Carr calls in on time, Todd is good.
You know what? I got one foot in the kitchen already with that Traeger chicken and bacon and potatoes going on over there.
Buffalo chicken thighs, fried chicken, bacon cheddar, baby potatoes on the Traeger. Who has it better than us?
Nobody.
All right. More phone calls coming up. The aforementioned David Carr from the NFL Network will join us coming up. Davis Mills got sacked four times last night in his debut at quarterback for the Texans. Last time the Texans had a quarterback who was sacked more times in his debut was David Carr, who was sacked six times in his first game. Sunday night's Packers-Niners matchup on NBC could be a little awkward. It was reported San Francisco reached out to Green Bay about Aaron Rodgers this offseason. And it seems Rodgers would have been very interested in that deal. Maybe there are some hurt feelings. Jimmy Garoppolo already knows the Niners don't want to commit to him long term. They drafted Trey Lance, number three pick overall. He won't say it, but Packers coach Matt LaFleur probably isn't happy how the offseason played out. Not to mention, he's good friends and former co-workers with Kyle Shanahan. Rodgers himself might be mad that he's in Green Bay and not in San Francisco, at least to stay. They're professionals. They got to make the best of it. Jimmy G has had a nice start. Rodgers struggled week one, bounced back in a big way last Monday night. In this situation, not ideal for all parties. But both teams have to feel like they have a shot at the NFC title and do whatever it takes to succeed. Yeah, I know that you're, if your friend and fellow coach in the NFL, the organization is reaching out to the Packers about Aaron Rodgers, this is about business. I mean, you got to understand that. Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur may be good buddies, but all's fair in love and war. That's what I want. I mean, you want to – your agent would be doing that if he was trying to get you to replace one of your friends as a head coach. I mean, this happens in the NFL. This is business as usual. San Francisco, they were interested in Tom Brady. San Francisco interested in Aaron Rodgers. All right. No, don't take it personally. Although, feels like Brady's people are taking everything personal. His dad, his trainer, how he was treated in New England. Yes, McLovin.
What I don't understand about the story, Matt LaFleur is reportedly, or some people are saying, was mad that the Niners called, that his buddy called. So if Matt LaFleur wants Aaron Rodgers so badly, has he been butting against management all this time? So Matt LaFleur is all in on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the report was that Matt LaFleur stopped the Packers from trading Aaron Rodgers because he said Jordan Love is not ready.
Oh, so he's really sort of been the...
Yeah, that's the report.
The guy who's holding the management back. So really, it's all management.
I mean, if you're Matt LaFleur, you want Aaron Rodgers, you got a chance to go to the NFC title game. I mean, he helps you immediately. Do you think Jordan Love is the future? Yeah, I guess you do. But Rodgers is the future right now. And if they thought that Jordan Love was the present, not the future, then they would have dealt Aaron Rodgers. And Matt LaFleur probably would have been there to say goodbye to Aaron. Like, thank you. We'll miss you. But we have our quarterback. Yeah, Paulie.
And even to go back to this, even if the Packers brass, they don't like Aaron Rodgers and everything that comes with him, they want to stay employed. Most general managers want to stay employed as long as you can and not move your family. And sticking with Jordan Love or moving on to Jordan Love is risking your livelihood in Green Bay.
Yeah, this was plain and simple. That's why I thought Aaron Rodgers was coming back, because they weren't going to trade him because they know Jordan Love is not ready. That's all. Plus, he's coming back to a team that can go back to the NFC title game. We know that. But that's all this came down to. I truly believe if Jordan Love was ready, they would have said, now is the best time to trade Aaron Rodgers. And it would have been. Coming off the MVP, we already got our quarterback of the future. What are we going to get from San Francisco or somebody else? Are we going to get three number ones? What are we getting? Are we getting the number three pick in the draft? Like you could have gotten an awful lot for Aaron Rodgers. But if Jordan Love was ready, they would have made this move. Yeah, Paul.
And going back to the Patriots, I wonder if the Packers look at what the Patriots did, letting Brady go maybe a year too early. And look what happened to that franchise.
Yeah.
They got lucky with Mac Jones, but we don't know what that is.
It feels like one of these games is going to be a blowout. Is it Packers, Niners, Buccaneers, Rams, Chargers, Chiefs? Those are the marquee games. Out of those games, which one could get out of hand? I'd probably go the Niners because I've seen the last two times they played in San Francisco and it got out of hand. The Rams and the Buccaneers, what's the point spread on that, McLovin?
It last I saw was Bucs minus one.
Yeah.
But it's been flipping a little, right around zero.
Okay. Chargers, Chiefs.
That's a high point spread. That's like seven? 6.5, seven.
Yeah, see.
That's the timing for the Chargers there is terrible. Chiefs coming off a close loss.
Yeah.
They're on the road playing in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Jeepers creepers, that might get ugly.
And losing to the Dallas Cowboys at home. Yeah, McLovin.
I can't read those charts. Once again, the Chargers are impossible to read.
The Dallas Cowboys, I guess they're not responding to the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. He wore a T-shirt, and he's the first-year coach with the Eagles. He showed up yesterday wearing a T-shirt that had Cowboys helmet, Eagles helmets facing off, and in bold black letters outlined further in white the word beat Dallas was on the T-shirt. Oh, my God. He said, I can't tell you how many times since I've been here, I've been having an interaction with a fan, and it's like, hey, beat Dallas, Sirianni said. I'll be wearing this all week. My kids got it. My wife has one, and yeah, we'll be wearing them. I guess the Dallas Cowboys, when they heard about this, Ezekiel Elliott said, we stay in our lane. He's not going to comment. I don't know if this is that incendiary, like beat Dallas. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're supposed to. Like, isn't that the point? Yeah, see.
Yeah, like if he had said it out loud, would it have been more palatable or something? Like, yeah, of course they're trying to beat Dallas. That's what they do for a living.
If they win, those shirts are going to be a hot ticket. Greg Zuerlein, the kicker, said, just because you wear a shirt doesn't change the fact that we're thinking beat Philadelphia and they're thinking beat us. It's probably just a little fun thing that they like to do.
There's nothing softer than a kicker coach squabble in the media.
Over a T-shirt that says beat Dallas. Like if they said Dallas sucks or something like that, you know, Jerry Jones and said something, Dak Prescott. All right, of course you want to beat him. And you got a kicker who responds. Don't mess with Greg the Leg. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, if there's ever a rivalry with a kicker coach, do you remember Buddy Ryan when he was Eagles coach?
Oh, yeah.
Put a $50,000 bounty on the Cowboys kicker.
That was Luis Andejas.
Yeah, and Jesse Small on the kickoff made a beeline for him. You know, I was telling Paulie, to us, this rivalry is like Ohio State-Michigan. Beating Dallas, we could go 2-14, two wins over the Cowboys.
And you're good.
Not really, but it's like that kind of.
I thought the Eagles and the Giants.
Not
even close.
It's Eagles, Cowboys, Celtics, Sixers are the two biggies. Yeah.
Mm. Let me see. A couple of phone calls. George in Ohio joins us. Good morning, George.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, George.
Yeah, I had to do something there real quick.
All right.
I want to say happy birthday to Paulie.
Oh.
And I had a question for Paulie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Barry Sanders, the great running back, who was certainly everything for the Detroit Lions, had that great escapability, which is probably why he played so long. What was the most carries he had in a season?
I think Paulie will have to do a little research. He doesn't have that off the top of his head, George. But thank you for the phone call. By the way, celebrate Paulie's birthday in a unique style. Go to danpatrick.com. Two T-shirts, $49. And check out everything else we have there. danpatrick.com. You got Penny's Bang Biscuits. We got a new partner clothing-wise, Sportique. We've got a great, great tailgate package for you there. So go to danpatrick.com and celebrate Paulie's birthday. Yeah, Paulie.
Barry Sanders carried the ball 300 or more times in a season six different times. The only times he didn't are in seasons where he was nicked up with an injury and missed a couple games. So he was always a 300 carry back.
Okay.
Always.
Sunny in California. Hi, Sunny. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dan. Hope you guys are having a good Friday so far. I just wanted to wish Paulie a happy birthday, and maybe he would give us his impersonation of Andrew Luck for his birthday.
Oh, great to hear from you. I agree with what you said yesterday. He was a socket back roll.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you, son.
And then can I just weigh in on the poll question?
Sure, why not? I don't even know what it is. Yeah, go ahead, son.
Oh, okay, for Survivor, McLovin threw out, I think, five different teams to pick for Survivor. And I just wanted to say, well, definitely the Denver Broncos. I chose the Broncos for one of my entries. But I also picked the Carolina Panthers, and I survived yesterday.
All right. Well, congratulations, Sonny, and thank you for calling back. There's also been a groundswell for Seton to do his Al Michaels impersonation one more time as we head into the weekend.
There he goes! you know what gives me such great joy, by the way, is knowing that Paul absolutely hates recognition of his birthday, and people are just calling in like crazy. And I don't know if they're just being nice to be like, hey, Paul, happy birthday, or if they're so in on the joke that they know it's driving him crazy. But damn, is it just deliciously funny.
I wonder the same thing, because every time somebody goes, hey, I just want to wish Paul a happy birthday, you can just see Paul's head drop down.
He goes like this. He goes, ugh.
I respect our listeners if they're doing it just to make me upset, which I respect.
I think you do it like, who's the character in Ted Lasso, the former soccer player?
Kent? No.
Yeah.
Roy Kent?
Yeah. let's see. Rick in Louisville. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Great, Rick. What do you have for me?
I got a little alarming for you. Actually, I can't take credit for you. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter. We were playing around. She's doing some poetry in class, and she came up with this for you, if you'd like to hear it.
Absolutely, Rick.
Are you ready?
Yep.
There once was a Patrick named Dan, a dapper and handsome young man. He has lots of toys, a true golden boy. And suck it back row if you can.
Okay. All right. You're teaching your granddaughter well. We'll suck it back row. By the way, did you guys hear Nick Saban? He had his press conference, and this one got out of hand a little bit. Yeah, Paulie.
He keeps being asked about different players. Like, hey, you know your linebacker, how's he developing? And every media person kept asking him about different players. And he's like, they're doing exactly what we want and this and that. So he was being questioned multiple times about multiple players.
All right, here is the reporter's question and Nick Saban's answer.
What has Jaleel Billingsley proven to you to see his role increased as the season's moved on?
Well, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He practices better. He's more engaged. He's more focused on what he's supposed to do, and he's having more positive performance on the field, which is what any player is supposed to do. I think that did any of you play sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right? And then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do so they get to play because they become one of the best players. So that's what he's doing now. But I don't know, maybe if you didn't play, maybe that's not something that you quite get.
Go to Aaron.
So to answer your question, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Aaron, go ahead.
Good luck,
yeah,
Aaron.
Good luck, Aaron, with that next question there. Now, prior to that, he had been asked multiple times or about multiple players, and then I just think he got to. Well, you could start to hear it ramp up, and then you could hear him banging on the podium just a little bit, and then you realized, uh-oh, this isn't going to go well. Yeah, Seton.
Is it bad form for a journalist to ask a coach about players?
No, it's not.
Multiple times, even?
They just don't like to lower themselves where they have to answer these kind of questions. I mean, after a while. And Nick is actually pretty good at answering questions, but I think after a while he's just like, do I really want to be spending my morning answering questions like this? even though these are legitimate questions to ask. Yes.
Well, he had an opportunity there to highlight. I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable question, and he had the opportunity to highlight how a player's improved on his team. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yes, this kid is doing these things, and it's really great that he's coming along that way, but instead was like, he's doing what I told him to do. Of course he is. That's what we're supposed to do, do what I say to do, and then they do it. You ever know that, people?
Yes, Todd.
But it wasn't sarcastic, abusive, accusatory. You know, he didn't say something like, why are you finally deciding to play? And we've all been waiting for this guy to get some action. And now finally you've decided that this is the right time to do it. He just asked him a question that I guess it built up from the other names that were being asked about.
Thank you, Tom.
That was ridiculous.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to back Coach Saban a little bit here. I watched the entire thing. He had been asked about 8 different linebackers and defensive backs. What do they got to do to move up in the depth chart? And he had said the same thing. Well, like all of our players, he's got to get more reps in practice and make a statement there, and that's how you get on the field. And he had said some version of that response for about the past 15 minutes.
Paul in Los Angeles before we take a break. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
What's going on, Dan? First-time caller, really new listener. Today is my 30th birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yay, well, happy birthday.
You and Paul.
You and Paul. Been, same month.
And
day.
His name is Paul.
My buddy.
What's up, bud? Yeah, I was getting in the car with my putting my daughter in, and I was like, today's Paulie's birthday? And I was like, oh, I gotta try. I gotta call, man.
Paulie cannot wait for tomorrow. So today is over with. Well, happy birthday, Paul. Happy 30th birthday, and thanks for calling in. There you go. I don't even think it's Paul's birthday.
Same month, same day, same name.
Yeah.
What?
But not same year.
Not same year.
Fritzy with Brett Favre.
Still very cool and special.
Same name, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
To be fair, the only thing that annoys me more than my birthday is Todd's birthday.
Oh, my God, when he does that.
I got the same exact birthday as Brett Favre. Have I mentioned that?
Yes. Every year.
Same month, same day, same year.
Brett Favre.
Isn't that crazy?
But a lot of people have like the same birthday, but like the year, like we were born the same day.
We got it.
It's not just 10-10. It's 10-10-69.
It's the same
exact day.
Same day, same sentence.
Month, year.
Yeah, same.
We were born the exact same day on Earth, Brett Favre and me.
Brett Favre is sick of hearing this.
He definitely is. That's why he hasn't been on the show recently.
Let me take a break. It's almost over. It's almost over.
Soon there will be food and the weekend.
Why don't you work on Brett Favre on your birthday?
My birthday's on a Sunday, though.
Oh.
So we'd have to do it Monday the 11th.
Okay, yes.
How relieved. You said, Paul, you're so relieved to find out that it's not on a weekday, 10-10.
Yes, Eden. Yes, Eden.
People on social media now have come around to wishing Paul a crappy birthday.
Yes.
Instead of a happy birthday, yes. Which is much more...
Crappy birthday to you.
I'm well on my way.
Crappy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Crappy birthday, dear Paulie.
Cha-cha-cha.
Crappy birthday to you.
Are you one? Are you two? Are you three?
If you ever see a report that I've killed somebody, it's going to be when they do that on my birthday.
Take a break. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. In fact, I was going to take the Discover credit card out this weekend when I saw Paulie to maybe buy him a beer on his birthday. But I'm going to see Paulie Saturday, not Friday, and your birthday's over.
Buy my own drinks.
Although I did walk into a bar and Paulie was sitting there with his wife, but Paulie bought me a bar, day drinking. He bought me a beer. Discover. Take it out. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. Get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I know they haven't exactly faced murderer's row with their schedule, but Carolina's smothering defense was the star last night. Panthers have allowed 30 points through the first three games, the fewest by the franchise through the first three games since 2002. Also, surrendering just 42 yards rushing last night. They have not allowed more than 50 yards rushing through the first three games. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. He's David Carr, the NFL Network analyst, former NFL quarterback. You can follow him on Twitter at dcar 8. David, thanks for joining us. What did you think of last night's game?
Dan, I mean, it was what we kind of expected. But before we get to that, I think sometimes our birthdays lose a little bit of magic as we get older. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, Pauly just gets acknowledged for having a birthday, because I know that that is sometimes it can be a source of frustration and depression when people don't acknowledge the birthday. So happy birthday, Pauly. But
Pauly, you have something to say. Hold on, David. Pauly has something to say. What?
Thanks, David. You're back to being my favorite car brother again. It was Derek for a long time.
Wow.
You're back.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I hope you have a happy birthday, buddy. But yeah, when you look at that game, and Christian McCaffrey obviously is the center point of that offense. And I was doing our show last night with LaDainian Tomlinson, great running back. He was also the center point of an offense. And I was talking to him as Christian left that game. I said, that's got to be really difficult, because Joe Brady's offensive system is so geared to getting him, Christian, in position to make plays in the run game, in the passing game, and then now he's all of a sudden gone. You know, you're going to look like maybe you're not really hitting your stride against a team that you should probably be handling. So I think that was a lot of the offensive issues. They're just trying to make some work. DJ Moore, good player. Sam Darnold, I love what they're doing with him. Matt Rhule, I've known Matt Rhule since he was an assistant offensive line coach in New York. And Matt has touched every base. Like, he has his hand in the offensive line, in the defense. He knows what gives each position group trouble. And I think that's what's so brilliant just about what they're doing on the defensive side, is they're basically running a college scheme, a 3-3-5. I was talking to Derek about this, you know, this summer. I was like, who's the most difficult defense schematically? He's like, the Panthers, they just create so many different issues from a schematic standpoint. And you watch them against the Saints last week. They ran the same blitz three plays in a row against Sean Payton's offense and Jameis Winston, who's a veteran quarterback. And they got home every time. And it's not just scheme, it's the personnel up front. So when I look at the Panthers, it's like, you don't really expect a lot out of them, but until you really dig into it and you look at each position group and how they're kind of put together, and you can't help but like get excited for that team. Even without Christian, like, he'll come back. That hamstring hopefully won't be something that lingers all year. He'll come back in there. I think they'll be able to hold down the fort. I just like what they do schematically. I like how they're put together. I'm really happy for Sam. I think he's a good player, and they're doing what he does well. I mean, you watch him on the run and making plays after the fact. That's almost when he's at his best. So I'm excited to watch them play.
But I wonder what they do with Christian McCaffrey as we move forward. He got paid. You want to use him, but then you also know that there's this fine line of how much we use him. Are we overusing him? You almost have to manage somebody that is one of your highest paid players.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a situation where in Christian's case, he's not going to come out. I remember him a couple of years ago saying that he wanted to be in on every snap on offense. And it's like, man, I know that you love the game, but dude, you're not going to make it. And I even heard him talking in our pregame about how he has to take less hits. He has to find a way to avoid contact a little bit. So as you start to get a little bit older, you understand that, yeah, I do have to kind of conserve the body. And you hope that a coaching staff would do that for you. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. I know that you just look at the running back position, and these guys are they're overworked. And you get a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's basically just standing on the sideline for a team right now, who is probably one of the best running backs 2-3 years ago. You can go through the list. You can Todd Gurley, Zeke Elliott is getting his role diminished in Dallas. It's just the shelf life just isn't very long. So what do? You know, do you just go full out? Let me give it everything I got. You know, if I kind of, you know, put yourself on a pitch count, or you let the team do it, do you get maybe another year out of it? You know, I'm almost to the point where it's like, let's just max out his ability. Let's see what he can do. And then when it's over, it's over. But it's a rough world for running backs. But, man, that's just kind of the world we live in.
Yeah, but that's what I would do, David. If I'm taking a running back in the first round, first of all, I wouldn't. But if I did take one,
right,
I'm going to use him as much as I possibly can, and then I'll find another running back. I can find running backs, and I don't.
Dude, we're in the same boat on that one. I tell everybody, I'm like, I would never pay a running back. Why would you pay a running back? Just go get another one. I mean, look at what the Ravens are doing. I mean, they have great running backs. Don't get me wrong, but all those guys got hurt. Like, the Ravens season's over. Well, let's beat the Chiefs. And they're running the football. I mean, I know Lamar was a big part of that, but, dude, you can find anybody to run the ball.
I did think
a little harsh. Well, Danny's going to be pissed that I said that, but you really can.
I did think of you last night as I'm watching Davis Mills, a rookie starting for the Texans, and he was going for your record of, I think you were sacked 6 times in your debut. Did that bring back painful memories for you?
Yeah, it did. The same jerseys, I mean, same stadium, different name, but it's like, and you just knew schematically, like kind of what we talked about earlier, they were going to bring a ton of different looks. And you just hope that the coaching staff would just give him some answers. And to their credit, early on, like in the first 2 series, they were trying to get the ball out of his hand as fast as possible. Then they realized they weren't even going to get a first down. I mean, I think I looked up at one point, and I think they had 14 plays, and the Panthers had 14 first downs. So it's like, okay, now we got to kind of try to do something here. So let's maybe step on the gas. But it's not a great situation for Davis. I actually like Davis out of school, and I think that if he would have maybe stayed another year, he made it a first-round pick. But – you know, he's just in a tough situation. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, and I don't know what goes through your mind, because here you are making your NFL debut, and you got your friends and family, and everybody's watching, and then you go out there, and you're like, oh, my God.
You know, you have to know, though. Like, I mean, I guess I didn't, because we beat the Cowboys the first game, and we're like, oh, this is easy. And we go to San Diego, play the Chargers, and Junior Seau's in the A-gap. Hits me 100 times, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's not so easy. You know? So, like, you think you would know, but it, like, you have to kind of. I'm ahead 20 years, so I have that luxury.
Who was the guy though that you just, when you saw him, you knew this isn't going to work out well for me?
It was that. I take it back. It was Junior Seau in that game, but fortunately, we didn't play them as much after that. But really, for me, it was Dwight Freeney, because I can say this now, we had no shot of beating those guys. When the Colts were rolling, we would go to Indy, and I mean, my dad came to a game, and he said, that's the last road game I'm ever going to. I'm like, Dad, why would you pick Indianapolis to come to, like, the worst possible scenario? It's like, they're going to be up 21-0. It's literally going to be a blitz fest. I remember the very first play of the game, we played Indy. They're already up 7-0, of course. We get the ball. I snap the ball. My left tackle does not even get out of his stance. You can probably go on YouTube and find this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even move out of his stance. Dwight Freeney hits me in the back of the head, ball flies out, fumble, 14-0. I mean, it's just like, we didn't have a chance to play those guys. So Dwight Freeney is the bane of my existence for a long time.
How often do you think each week you have to, or you feel like you need to defend your brother with, I mean, maybe not anymore, but was it a weekly process, a daily process where you had to sort of, do you stick up for your brother?
Yeah, dude, you know, it's like, to him, I would never stick up to him. I'm always kind of like going to be hard on him and whatnot, but it's like, that's my job as a big brother. But like, up until this year, it really was to the point of like, how else to say this. Like, just look at the numbers, look what he does. The problem was their defense was terrible. That's just what it was. Like, so they would never get enough possessions to be able to do, or they'd never get a stop in key situations. They'd be like, okay, we're right there. And then, you know, blown coverage. Beat Kansas City last year the first time, second time, about to beat them again. Blown coverage, touchdown, Travis Kelce wide open. Like, what's happening? So this year we get to this, you know, situation we're in now, and now all of a sudden he's a good player, you know, and people are trying to figure out, well, what happened between 2016 and right now. I'm like, well, nothing. He's just been steadily getting better. You just look at the numbers, look at him and John's system. They've been on the rise, but you know, their defense was ranked 30th or whatever they were last year. So just be, you know, Gruden talked about this. I was out there for training camp and we were just kind of, he's like, Dave, all we have to do is just give me, of course he says me, give me 2 more possessions, you know, with the football and we'll be fine. And I'm like, I guess if you look big picture, that's probably right. And then you look at what they did against the Ravens, strip sack in overtime, 1 extra possession, touchdown. Steelers, same thing, 1 extra possession, big play, Henry Ruggs, touchdown off of fumble. So you're like, okay, I guess it makes sense. And then you look over the big picture throughout the entire season, that's going to add, you know, I mean, how many wins is that going to add? I guess we'll find out at the end. But offensively, they've always been – they've been there, like, since Darren Waller's been there and Gruden and those guys, and they have that type of big-time matchup guy. All these other guys, Hunter Renfro, starting to step up. Ruggs is making more plays down the field. You know, Brian Edwards, you know, they're going to be fine on offense. It's really been defense. And Max Crosby has played fantastic. Yannick Ngakoue, another guy battled through a hamstring injury to play against, you know, the Steelers this last week, put some pressure on the quarterback, back ends making some plays. Casey Hayward hasn't even given up a completed pass on him this year. So, I mean, what else do you want? They got a chance now.
Okay, I want you to play the role of Tom Brady, and you're facing this Rams defense. What are you gonna try to take advantage of?
So I went back and watched this game from them last year, Week 11, yesterday, just to kind of refresh my memory on what happened, how they, you know, what went wrong for the Bucs, and it was really as easy as Aaron Donald. They were not able to consistently run the football and put enough pressure on them to not just play the pass. And Aaron and those guys just pushed the pocket back in Brady's lap, and he made a couple bad throws, and that was the difference. I mean, Jared Goff threw the ball 50-something times in that game. Matt Stafford is clearly capable of doing the same thing. Cooper Kupp had a huge day last year. He's going to have another one in L.A. I don't think that there's going to be anything different from a Rams standpoint on what they want to do. They pretty much did what they wanted to. They didn't even really try to run the football, because even when you do play Tampa Bay, a lot of people just don't even attempt it because they're just solid up front. They're so fast and physical, very gap sound, difficult. But you can spread them out and throw the ball. I think Matt Stafford can do that. But from a Buccaneers standpoint, I really think that they have to try to do some things to slow him down, whether it be like these little trap passes, you know, not necessarily RPOs, but some type of play action, some type of make it look like run. Because if you just drop back, Aaron Donald, I don't care how good your offensive line is, he's going to push back on that and make it difficult. Because Brady, let's say, I mean, if he's at this point, if he does have a weakness, he's going to be 7 yards deep behind the center. I mean, that's just it. It's at the end of the day, and good defenses know that, and they can push the pocket there. And you know he's not going to be outside the pocket doing anything fancy. So I think that's really what it comes down to in this game, is trying to slow down that push by Aaron Donald on the inside, really. Not the outside guys. Brady's stepped up and used pocket presence forever to get away from those guys. But it's the inside push that created some bad throws. I think it comes down to that.
It's great to talk to you as always, David. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
You too, buddy. All right, man. Have a good day.
That's David Carr, NFL Network analyst. Some good stuff there. Yeah, Paul.
Who do you think is older, David Carr or Tom Brady?
I'm going to say David Carr.
Tom Brady's 2.5 years older.
Is he?
David Carr's 42. He's been retired, what, 4 years?
Yeah, maybe.
Nice, great career, you know?
Yeah. Dwight in Florida joins us. Hey, Dwight.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Great, Dwight.
Good. Listen, I have two things quickly. I wanted to sing happy birthday to Polly.
Polly, do you want Dwight to sing happy birthday?
I'd prefer he doesn't.
He might have a lovely voice.
I'm going to say, go get him, Dwight. Let me hear it.
Unless it's Dwight Yoakam.
No. Or Dwight Schrute.
Okay. I'm a honky-tonk man. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Polly. Happy birthday to you.
I respect it.
Well, thank you, Dwight.
All right. And secondly, and I know I'll make it quick, I was wondering, every Christmas, could you play Todd's bagel story every year?
Thank you, Dwight. We'll see what we can do. When Todd melted down, that was a true meltdown.
I wasn't expecting to get that emotional, but as I started talking about it.
When he couldn't get his onion bagel, they discontinued the onion bagel.
I rushed home because the one that I go to, I knew was closing, and I got there a few minutes before. There's three cars in front of me, and I got my order all figured out, and I'm ready to give it, and I find out they
riled up here.
Oh, we ended up making a shirt about it. I'm in a bad way. Was that what I said?
Yeah, you were.
I was in a bad way.
There's a poor girl, probably in high school, working the drive-through, and you are melting down.
I'm not sure why we don't have onion bagels. I guess we ran out. Come on!
I'm in a bad way.
How do you not have onion bagels?
Take a break. If you're watching on Peacock, we will open up the Traeger grills. Yes, Eden. Did you have something you'd like to add?
Was there tuna on that bagel, Todd?
Yeah, they didn't have onion bagels, and then I said, okay, a plain bagel with tuna.
Enabling.
Oh, we don't have any tuna either. We stopped making tuna. We don't have it anymore.
Stop.
Not just that day.
Take a break back
no
after
more
this.
Tuna ever.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Close up shop on this Friday, a Meat Friday at that. Send this out to this great audience. Thank you for all the support for these 14 years. Here's Arcade Fire. Sing along if you'd like. I think next week it'll be 14 years that we've been doing this since we left the mothership. Meat Friday. Earn your place in the Hall of Flame by making game day spreads with the Traeger Wood Pellet Grill. Traeger offers the perfect way to cook all season long. Grab one at your local dealer. Visit TraegerGrills.com/DP Show to learn more. Buffalo chicken thighs, fried chicken, bacon, cheddar, baby potatoes. I'd say that overall grade for Tyler. Tyler, the moderator, is thumbs up. It was great. Although that's not a grade, but thumbs up. A pass or fail. How's that? It's like an Ivy League school, McLovin.
Hey, Pro Football Focus gave him a 92.1.
Oh, okay.
Just like Sam Darnold.
That's nice. Nice. Yeah. Tyler. So Tyler has, you know, duties. You know, I said duties. He is the host of Chat Row, and he does some other things. And he also cooks all morning long, and he uses the Traeger grill. He's got to take care of my dog, Winnie, who comes in every day and is in the cage. She's sleeping right now, right next to Tyler. She's supposed to be sleeping. And then all of a sudden, at 12:01 Eastern, Tyler opens the door, and Winnie comes barging out, ready to play. Yeah, Paulie.
What do you think Tyler puts on his W-2s for his taxes? Dog walker? Chicken maker? I mean, like, what's his job?
I would just say moderator at Chat Row. Let the IRS figure that out. What is this Chat Row you're talking about? Harry in Chicago. Harry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deb. 5:10, 2:30.
Harry, Harry Carey calling.
2:50 if you count the glasses.
Hi, Harry.
I wanted to wish Chicago's favorite son, Pauly, a happy birthday. I was wondering if I could maybe sing him a song if you didn't mind.
Sure, why not, Harry?
All right, sing along if you know it. Happy birthday to Paulie. Happy birthday to you. Buy him a drink or his favorite snack. Make sure to say suck it raw in the back and we'll eat. Eat, eat on the Friday. Maybe a few beers to go. Cause he's one of our favorite dad, that's all the Dan Patrick Show. Comes win.
Thank you, Harry.
Emotional.
Yeah. I asked Paulie, I don't know if we had had a couple of beers, but I asked Paulie the following question. Would he rather have Walter Payton back alive or Paulie's dad?
Both impactful.
If Walter was still playing,
whoa.
Or you could have your dad back.
That's a curveball. He would be still playing if he chose to, Walter, by the way.
Of course he would. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
What's the game you're looking forward to this weekend? As you predicted, Bucks-Rams, but Packers-Niners is right behind it.
Okay, this day in sports history, Paulie.
A couple. 1934, Babe Ruth played his last game as a New York Yankee.
Overrated.
Wow, too soon. 1957, the Brooklyn Dodgers played their last game at Ebbets Field before they moved west.
By the way, do you know how many fans showed up for Babe Ruth's farewell Yankee appearance? 2,500. I don't know if they knew that it was his last one, but I saw attendance figures. It was 2,500 at Yankee Stadium. Continue, Paul.
O.J. Simpson was a host of Saturday Night Live in 1989. Mm. It was before everything went south.
See, Todd's busy with something, or he'd throw in some line, and that's good. You shouldn't be.
Nah, I'm going to play
Continue,
safe.
Paulie.
That's it.
Oh, okay. Joe Namath on this day passed for 6 touchdowns in a win against the Baltimore Colts. Let's see.
Hello, SNL.
It's me.
I want to thank my good buddy, Lorne Michaels.
The fact that one of the reasons why Norm Macdonald got fired from Weekend Update was because he kept making fun of O.J. Simpson. Isn't that amazing?
If I'm picking someone to back there, I'm going with Norm.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. That's not a real tough decision there, Paulie.
But some executive went the other way.
Bill in Florida joins us on the program. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to take this moment out of to celebrate the life of a dear friend of mine, Peter Palmer. Peter's known as Little Abner on Broadway and on in the movie, and he was on the MASH TV show as Captain Toby Hill. But his claim to fame as a fighting alumni great at the University of Illinois was his junior and senior year, in full uniform, he sang the national anthem. How many times have we seen that happen since the 50s when he played for them? I don't think we've seen it that often. He's a great friend. We'll miss him, and truly a great American, even though that has been thrown around many a time. He, if you knew him, Dan, you would love him. He was our neighbor in Tubble Terrace, which is right outside of Tampa, for 20-plus years. And his passing is sad, but his celebration of life is tenfold. And God bless Peter Palmer. And I can tell you, on a happy note, he's probably on his third encore up where he is, no matter where that is. And I'm pretty sure St. Peter is asking for a fourth and fifth encore. So
all right.
Thank you, everybody, and God bless.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, he lived to be 90 years of age. Yes, McLovin.
When he was in that Illinois uniform, it was a noon game, by the way. played Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah. Illinois against Rutgers. You want to come out and sing the anthem? Yeah, sure. Sing the anthem. Sing it again. Let's see.
We're terrible people.
Yeah, we are. We acknowledge it, though. We laugh at ourselves before you can laugh at us. Todd, what did you learn on today's award-nominated program?
When he comes to visit, Booger's Traeger Grill Meat Friday barbecue menu would include brisket, kielbasa sausage, and all he can drink of Coke Zero.
Yeah, that's Booger McFarland who joined us in the first hour. McLovin?
It's Paulie's birthday.
Yeah. How are you going to celebrate, Paulie?
The usual, probably taking a nap after the show and watching some mediocre college football.
All right. Maybe I'll buy you a beer tomorrow.
There you go.
When I see you. Seton O'Connor.
Mike Florio's blood pressure skyrocketing.
Yeah, those taunting penalties. Paulie, what did you learn on today's program?
I don't think that was Dwight Yoakam singing a couple
times. It was not. It was just Dwight in Florida. Todd, what did I learn today?
Speaking of Dwight's, Colts defensive end Dwight Freeney was the bane of David Carr's existence back when he was playing.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend. We'll chop it up on Monday. For Fritzy, McLovin, Seton, Paulie, yours truly, this has been the Dan Patrick Show. Close out the show with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of all the action, and you get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So get in on the action now. It's simple. You pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition and feel that NFL action like never before with that free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Make sure you download the DraftKings app now. Use the code Patrick, and you're ready to go. Free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. The best part, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want to. Enter the code Patrick, get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with that first deposit. So it's code Patrick only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Download the app now. Use the code Patrick and get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings.com.